Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in, Jaguars postgame from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field in Jacksonville. The final score at Qualcomm Stadium, San Diego, the Chargers 33 and the Jaguars 14. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey here. And on the phone line, proud of the Jaguars running back, Fred Taylor is with us. Fred, let's get right to this. The first NFL start for Blake Bortles. Numbers were good. Couldn't get much done offensively in the second half. Because of the nature of the game, the defense didn't play well. Of course, Phillip Rivers had a big hand in that. Where is your view of this game overall?
I mean, you hate to, you know, say the defense didn't play well. Pretty much after four games, that's just the theme of the season, where they hadn't played well. I think Blake, he played tremendous. He showed some great time, 29-37, 253, touchdown. The two picks, you don't want to see the turnovers, but he's going to make some rookie mistakes. I think the defense has to play up to that level and help him. We were able to call a lot of plays in the first half, 40-something plays in the first half. In the second half, we were only able to call 24 plays. So it made us one-dimensional where he had to pass the ball a lot because we were behind. And in turn, the opportunity to have more turnovers, of course, those percentages are going to increase. I thought the O-line did play better. And overall, the defense has to play well if we're going to win the games, though.
Fred, I'll give the defense a little bit of credit for a couple of quick change situations in the first half with Toby Gerhardt's early fumble and Blake's interception. They held San Diego to field goals. But in the end, too many explosive passing plays, at least a half dozen of them by Charger wide receivers in this football game. Did you see anything different with what the defense was doing to try to contain some of these receivers, obviously not being completely successful?
You know what, Mike? I do agree with you on that. You know, the possession, the short field where they were able to get out there, you know, and play with their back against the wall. But yet, the big plays, man, six plays over 20 yards, that's unacceptable. Third down, some big plays. And two 40-plus yarders to Eddie Royal. You know, you really can't allow those plays. I want to see Winston Guy, but he was a guy that was benched earlier in the week. If you're benched, your life is on the line now. So you have to go into the week and prepare as best you can. And they're on a double move, a simple play, great defensive call, but you bite the double move and you give up a big play. So those are the breakdowns that Gus has been talking about. And until we can stop those or either just minimize one or two, the team will not win many ball games because one or two guys are breaking down every call.
Fred Taylor is with us. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Jaguars postgame 33-14. The final score, Chargers over the Jags. Jags fall to 0-4. Chargers are now 3-1 and on the move. They've got another home game in Qualcomm next week. The Jags will come back home to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're awaiting head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff Lagerman is standing by outside of the Jaguars locker room. And we'll go there in just a moment. Run game today for the Jags. Fred, you know, Gerhardt 10 for 32. He had the fumble on the first big gainer of the day. Had his first touchdown as well. Robinson, 9 for 25 today. Overall run game for the Jags. What's your opinion?
You know, I thought early on that the offensive line played better as a group, which allowed us to be more effective in the run game. But that's also, you know, a credit to Blake entering the game as the starter, where he's very athletic. He's able to get outside the pocket. The offensive coordinator, he's able to, you know, call better plays, and that in turn helped the run game. So they did play a little better. It started out with some consistency early. It allowed the offensive coordinator to get in the groove and call a balanced offense, play call, run pass, play action, screen. Yet the fumble, you know, it's tough to fumble on away games, on the road, and more than that, the very first possession.
Fred, we can all sit here and
bounce back from.
Sorry about that. We can all sit here and second guess play calling, but the first fourth down that they went for with Denard in the backfield, I just didn't feel like San Diego was going to respect Denard Robinson, that he would get the ball in a short yardage situation. They were able to kind of play 11 on 10 and stuff Bortles on the quarterback sneak. And then the second time around, they try to run Denard on third down, and then they go with Toby Gerhardt on fourth and one. What did you make of those play calls?
Well, that's really I don't question those play calls right there at all. I think the guys have to execute. It starts up front. You know, they have to have a better push up front. And anyone in the stadium pretty much knew, you know, we were going to be not as aggressive, meaning pull it and throw it deep. Or even I probably would have liked to see Bortles, you know, tuck it himself and get out there on the edge and try and run for the first. He's got that athletic. We just have to get more push up front by the interior offensive line group.
Fred Taylor is with us. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Jaguars postgame, 33-14 final score. Still awaiting head coach Gus Bradley in this segment. We'll have the first word with the Jags head coach coming up.
One area, guys, that I think we looked for improvement from, and we got it today, was on third down offensively. Fred, 8 out of 13, even with those two failed fourth down attempts, 8 out of 13 seemed like a step in the positive direction here.
Very much so. As I said again, you saw early in the first half, at least, converting on third downs allows the offense coordinator to call more plays. And when he's in the groove, the offensive linemen, they're in the groove. There are a variety of plays, a great mixture, screens, you know, play actions outside on rollouts, play actions, dropbacks. That allowed us to call more plays in the run game. The run game seemed fairly effective in the first half. So being able to sustain and convert some of those third downs, that allows you to call more plays. It allows the defense to stay fresh. And they were pretty, you know, the defense played, you know, pretty good up early on. There was some pressure there. Only thing is they gave up some big plays. And there's no excuses for that sort of play, you know. But, you know, I do want to commend the offense for improving this week in the third down area.
Let's go to Qualcomm Stadium. Jeff Lagerman standing by with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP, here with the head coach. And Gus, first start for your rookie quarterback. He seemed to play exceptionally well. It seemed like the defense was having a tough time against an elite quarterback in Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, no, he did. Blake played pretty well. I know he had the two interceptions, but very efficient. I think he had the poise that we've seen all during training camp and last week. So for him to have a start like that, we can build off of it. Defensively, I know there's some tough situations, you know, a lot of sudden change situations where they had started off with good field positions. Thought we did a better job against the run. But third downs, you know, we had opportunities to get off the field on third downs, and we just didn't capitalize.
Obviously not easy for a young quarterback to go on the road. Things seem to be better for your offense today. Is this something that you can build on with a young quarterback being on the road against a tough opponent?
No doubt. You know, I think we're starting to run the ball a little bit better. I'm not sure exactly. I think it was like 85 yards or something like that rushing. And that helps, and we got to continue to grow that. And, you know, to come into an environment like this with a really good team, good defense, and you know, we definitely can build off this. I felt like for last week, it didn't feel like we were getting better. I think we made really good strides, not only just today, the whole week, and I think it's something we can build off of.
Two guys of note that appeared to get injured, Dwayne Grotz appeared to have a concussion. Obviously, he will be evaluated later in the week. The other one, Cecil Shorts, looks like he had a hamstring. Any word on Cecil?
No, we'll continue to check that out. I know he's going through some testing right now, and we'll hear more about that before we get on the plane. But, you know, hopefully with Grotzi, everything's okay with him.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff Lagerman in the Jags locker room at Qualcomm Stadium. When we come back, we'll hear from Jeff inside the locker room. The final score in Week 4, 33-14, San Diego over Jacksonville. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score from Qualcomm Stadium, 33-14 Chargers over the Jags. At GEICO, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. We won't hear from Loggeman in the locker room. His day is done. We'll keep it here. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor with us on the phone line. It's time to pick an MVP of the game. And this, I don't know if this is routine or not. Fred, who you got?
Man, I can't pick one of these guys on the winning side of things. I got to go with the rookie, man. Despite of the two picks, you don't want to see those turnovers. But I thought he played poised, and they showed a lot of leadership and played well today, made some plays. So I'm going to go with Blake.
All right, Mike Dempsey.
I can't see how you couldn't go with Blake here. He got the offense started in the first half, and it felt different. It looked like this team was able to move the football. I'll give a tip of the cap to Clay Harbor coming in here, Fred. He caught all eight of his targets for 69 yards and gave Blake a nice outlet guy late in the play as he was extending plays. But Bortles' first start, I think, earns the MVP.
Bortles today, final numbers, 29 of 37, passing 253 yards and a one touchdown, two interceptions, a rating of 81.6. Was sacked three times, but Bortles, solid first NFL start. Couldn't get it done, though. The final score today is 33-14. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Fred, for Bortles moving forward here with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in here this week, what improves for Bortles moving forward? What improvements does he need to make? Kind of general question.
He's going to go in there and his preparation is going to change. You know, Pittsburgh is going to come in with a 3-4 defense. You know, looking back, I don't think he's seen a 3-4 defense yet for the most part. But I think his confidence doesn't change. I think he's going to be a little bit more comfortable. He had an opportunity to prepare a full week and play an entire game. You know, so as he goes and as he continues to get those repetitions, you know, I think he'll only get better.
When we come back, we'll have the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for you, Fred. Get ready for that one. Also, the Bud Light play of the game coming up a little bit later. More coming up after these words. Final score, 33-14, Chargers over the Jags. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score from San Diego, 33-14, Chargers over the Jags. Jaguars fall to 0-4. San Diego now 3-1. Jaguars postgame brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor on the phone line with us. It's time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Fred, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Number one, best Blake Bortles play today?
3rd-and-17 conversion. He definitely reminded me a lot like Ben Roethlisberger. He showed a lot of strength. He was able to get outside the pocket and making big plays downfield.
Spin move, man.
It was nice.
Freddie, number two, what is left to try on defense that they haven't already tried to limit some of these explosive plays?
You got to get him back on the chalkboard, as I said last week, man. I think you tighten down the man-to-man coverage and just trusting your guys. Continue to pound away at him. That's the only thing that's going to work at this point.
And finally, Denard Robinson. What is his role moving forward? It seemed like he was a little more positive today as a running back.
You know, he's been very active. He's making those downhill cuts. He's making people miss. And he's running hard and with authority. So I think moving forward, you'll see him continue to grow at the position and in turn get more carries and give him the opportunity to be more successful and help the offense out.
There you go. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers from Fred Taylor. Final score, 33-14, Chargers over the Jags. A little more on that play, that long conversion. You know, everybody talks about Bortles being able to extend the play and do this and do that and just help an offense. Yeah. That's how you draw it up if you're talking about that, right?
You can't draw that up.
You know what
you
I mean?
You go back and you're going to see some of that next week. Hopefully, we don't see a lot of it when the Steelers come to town. But when you watch Roethlisberger, you wonder, are these guys drawing up plays in the dirt? I close my eyes and see Mike Wallace running 80 yards every time and Roethlisberger breaking two or three tackles, sacks, and just tossing it up there, Hail Mary style, and you end up with a touchdown. We need some of that in Jacksonville.
You know, and Fred, what you'll love when he does break containment, he's always looking for his guys down the field. He's not scrambling, looking at the defenders who are coming at him. Eyes down the field, spin move. He reacquires Clay Harbor and makes what turns out to be a pretty easy pass, but it's all because his head's up the entire time.
Yeah, that's his confidence. That's when you, as a rookie, you don't see those things with rookies. But this kid, he has something special. We can only hope that it is there, but he has something special, and time will only tell. But rookies don't keep their eyes downfield. They usually tuck it and run it, sack, maybe a one-yard gain. But he tries to extend the play, and he's doing some very good things right now.
When we return, the highlights from today's game in San Diego. Call 1-800-XFINITY and ask how you can get started with Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months. No term contract, no early termination fee. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Offer ends 9/30/14. Restrictions apply. Highlights and the Bud Light play of the game coming up. 33-14 final. Chargers a winner in week four. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score from Qualcomm today, 33-14. Chargers are now 3-1. The Jags fall to 0-4. Let's get into the highlights from today's game. Blake Bortles makes his first NFL start. But on the second play of the game, a fumble for Gerhardt. Gives the ball over to San Diego, but a 3-and-out. Jaguars D stands up. They got a sack. They started at the Jags 30. But had to punt it away. 3-and-out. The Jags go 11 plays, 42 yards, but turn it over on downs on the second drive. Give it over to San Diego. Novak hits a 33-yard field goal, 3-0. The ensuing drive, though, 10 plays, 68 yards led by Bortles. It eats up 4 minutes, 38 seconds. Toby Gerhardt plunges in from a yard away.
Bortles under center. Here we go. They'll run it with Bortles. Gerhardt to the left. Did he get in this time? Touchdown, Jaguars. This time he is in. And the Jags now have taken the lead.
Gerhardt with a one-yard touchdown run. 7-3 the score. Ensuing drive, though, included a 24-yard pass to Allen. One of six 20-plus yard plays on the day for San Diego. Next play, though, was a 47-yard touchdown pass. Eddie Royal made it 10-7.
Now Brown, the running back, stands to his left. Phillip in the shotgun, play fake, looks to throw. Branch gets a pressure, but he doesn't get there in time. That's wide open. Inside the 20-yard line, inside the 10-yard line. It's going to be a touchdown for the Chargers. Eddie Royal, a 47-yard touchdown catch from Phillip Rivers.
Made it look easy, and it was 10-7. Next drive, a long reception by Hearns, kind of stumbling backwards near the goal line, made the juggling catch, tried to get up, couldn't score. It set up the Jags at the two-yard line, and this is the Bud Light play of the game. Our Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Nick Jacobs with a touchdown.
Play fake. Looking to the left. Fires it into the corner of the end zone. That is going to be a touchdown. Now there's a flag down, and they call a touchdown. Arms went up in the air. It's going to be the brand-new tight end, Nick Jacobs.
It was a touchdown. The penalty called after the play. 14-10 Jags at this point. But there was still the San Diego offense. A couple of drives later, Rivers to Royal, 43 yards on a 3rd and 10, 17-14 Chargers.
Three receivers set, three are lined up to the left. Keep an eye on Gates. He is a slot to the left. All out blitz by the Jaguars. They pick it up. They throw it to the left side. Oh, he's got a man wide open. Rivers picked up the blitz, threw it out to the left side. Eddie Royal is going to score a touchdown. You pick up the blitz, and one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL just threw a 43-yard touchdown pass to Eddie Royals, and the Chargers have gone back in front.
Phillip Rivers just keeps on coming and coming and coming, and the Chargers had a 17-14 lead at halftime. Their opening drive of the second half, it was the Jags defense playing okay early in this game, gave up those long scores. They needed a stop on the opening drive. They couldn't get it. 9 plays, 80 yards. Rivers to Floyd for 24 yards and a score.
Can the Jaguars get him stopped here? They do blitz this time. Jaguars with an all-out blitz goes to the right corner of the end zone. That's a touchdown.
Great
what
throw.
A throw to Malcolm Floyd. He beat Demetrius McCray in man coverage, a 24-yard touchdown for the Chargers.
It was 24-14 at that point. Jags offense in the second half couldn't get anything done. Two interceptions, there was a three and out, a turnover on downs in the end of the game. Novak hit three second half field goals, made it 27-14, 30-14, and then the final scoring of 33-14. San Diego now 3-1. The Jags fall to 0-4. Those are the highlights from today's game. When we return on Jaguars postgame and Everbank Stats Check coming up, we'll hear more from Fred Taylor as well. Tough one today in San Diego. Blake Bortles in his first NFL start. Though, we'll break that down a little bit more coming up too. Jaguars postgame. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final score in San Diego, the Chargers 33, Jags 14. Jaguars postgame continues. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor on the phone line with us tonight. Time now, Fred, for an Everbank final stats check. Total yardage in this game, 319 for the Jags, 407 for the Chargers. Rush yards, 85 for Jacksonville, 42 for San Diego. But through the air, the Chargers outgained the Jags 365 to 234. Those are the big team stats today. Individual statistics, the quarterbacks. You start there, of course. Blake Bortles, 29 of 37, 253, a touchdown, two picks. Rivers had a big day, 29 of 39, 377, three touchdowns, no interceptions. There's Philip Rivers is, I don't know if he's in the top four. You know, those top four quarterbacks in the league, Fred, are pretty stout, you know. But he's right there, yeah. Right outside the top four in this league. Has to be.
Yeah, no, he's looking down. I mean, if you say top four, you got to be talking about, you know, the Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Let me know who the fourth guy is.
Drew Brees?
You know, so he's right in that. Drew Brees, yeah. So he's even in that conversation. He's been steady. So the defense it didn't do so hot today, but to go up against a guy like Phillip Rivers, who's going to give you his best every single week, you got to love the competitive nature, the fire that he plays with. I would go to war with him. No, just today he wasn't on the right side of the ball.
Fred, what does it say about Blake Bortles when he completes 29 passes and he's able to hit 10 different receivers on the day?
I mean, those are good signs. Those are good signs. We've had guys in and out of the lineup, even on the offensive line, excuse me, as well as the receiver position, even the tight end position. So he's just entering the lineup, but still, these are guys that, you know, over the course of the season and then going into next year and the years to come, he's going to be comfortable throwing to anybody, not just some quarterbacks zone in and hone in to their number one target, their star receiver. But being that he's hitting a variety of guys, young guys at that, I only see, you know, better things to come. And, I'm sure the fans hate us. You know, we continue to talk. I try and be optimistic and positive, yet these are the things that I really do believe in. And this is a start. It's a good start for him.
You can see the difference, Fred, in a veteran tight end in the game. Harbor, 8 catches in 8 targets today, 69 yards. Alan Hearns, 5 catches, 68 yards, had that long one to set up the short running touchdown for Gerhardt. Alan Robinson had some yardage late, 5 for 38. But Harbor in this game today, the Jags have been without a stable tight end core early in the season. Harbor had the big day. Jacobs had the touchdown today.
Yeah, you know, bodies are going to be out there. Everyone practice. Everyone has to, you know, get their visual reps if they're not out there actually getting physical reps. And the coaches expect you to be ready. You know, Jacob, he just entered the team, and he was able to get out there and get a touchdown. But that just goes to show the professionalism. You know, the guys are well coached. And, for Harbor to come back and play as well as he played, catch every target, that every ball that it was thrown his way. You know, I like to see this offense. I truly believe they're going to continue to improve as the season goes, and hopefully that will equate to some wins.
Fred, one thing we looked at over the last several weeks was the amount of three and outs leaving the defense on the field for an abnormally long period of time. Today, that wasn't the case, as the Jags actually held the time of possession advantage by about a minute.
Yeah.
Yet,
yeah.
Another 400 yards given up, 400 yards plus by the defense. And, you know, look, I know you said you got to go back to the chalkboard on this, but are you seeing any bright spots today? We did see, I thought we talked about on the quick change situations in the first half, but other than that, were there some things you can point to that this Jaguar coaching staff can build on?
Well, if you go and you look at everything, I think the area of tackling was better today. You know, we did give up a lot of big plays, the six plays over 20 yards there. Very unacceptable. We couldn't make the excuse that they were out there the entire game, because the offense was able to convert some third downs and, you know, sustain some drives. So the defense, we have to go back, man, and just continue to work your craft. Man-to-man coverage, that'll allow us to do more than just rush four. We're not going to really beat anyone only rushing four. You know, there are going to be times when we create some pressure, but on the back end, we're going to have to be, you know, next to the receiver, so we have opportunity to get interceptions and have turnovers. So I think man-to-man coverage has to improve so we can call more blitzes. Third down defense, obviously, is an area of concern. Got to get off the field. And just doing whatever you can to stop the big plays. We've given up maybe a league-leading big plays, so we have to get better in that area.
Fred, we'll be back with you in just a moment when we return on Jaguars postgame. Some scores around the National Football League in Week 4. Some good games today in the NFL. We'll also have more with Fred Taylor coming up a little bit later. Final score, 33-14, Chargers over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along, 33-14. Chargers are now 3-1 with a win over the Jags. Jaguars fall to 0-4 with a loss in San Diego. Blake Bortles' first NFL start today. Let's look at some other scores around the National Football League. The only game remaining today is the primetime game, Saints at Cowboys tonight at 8:30 on NBC. All other games are final. The Packers beat the Bears 38-17. Rodgers had four touchdown passes. He was relaxed today. That was the code word throughout the week. Texans 23, Bills 17. J.J. Watt had an interception return for a touchdown, a long one too. The Texans are now 3-1. The Colts improved to 2-2. A huge division win, 41-17 over the Titans. Reggie Wayne, 119 yards, and a touchdown for the veteran. Ravens. Boy, Steve Smith against his old team just torched the Panthers today. 139 yards, two scores. 38-10 Ravens over the Panthers. The Lions are now 3-1. They beat the Jets 24-17. Stafford, 293 and two touchdowns for the former Georgia Bulldog. Buccaneers, last-second touchdown in the late seconds, rather. 27-24 Buccaneers over the Steelers, the Bucs' first win of the season. A late rally gets it done. In London, the Dolphins all over the Raiders. They now fall to 0-4. 38-14, Dolphins a win. A huge day for a Tannehill, couple touchdowns. A big day overall for Miami in that win. Eagles and Niners. 49ers get a win over Philly, 26-21. That game has just gone final. Kaepernick a couple of touchdowns through the air. And Teddy Bridgewater left the game today with an ankle injury. Ponder had to finish. The Vikings did beat the Falcons 41-28 at TCF Bank Stadium. Bridgewater 19 of 30, 317 in his debut. No touchdowns through the air, but one on the ground today for Teddy Bridgewater. Those are the scores from around the National Football League. When we come back, Baptist Health's injury report and more with Fred Taylor. 33-14, Chargers over the Jaguars, and more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score, 33-14, Chargers over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor joining us over the phone tonight. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Two real notable ones, Fred. Gratz, what was ruled a concussion, looked a lot scarier than that. Cecil Shorts the third had the hamstring injury. But on Gratz, I mean, that's one of those plays that you're just really scared for him. It was a good thing he stood up and walked off under his own power, but it could have been a lot worse than it was, Fred.
It looked much worse than it was, man. You know, you hate to say thank God it was only a concussion, but thank God it wasn't worse. You know, and there when Cecil got injured, man, the first pick that Blake threw there, it looked a little funny. I didn't think he came out of his break all that well. Didn't really fight for the ball right there, so I knew something was wrong. And maybe if he was healthy, that first pick didn't take place. It doesn't take place.
Yeah, I think they even showed maybe the play before that when he was running down the field a little bit. He pulled up a little bit and kind of grabbed the back of his leg there, Fred. It's got to be frustrating. That kind of injury, you think you're over it, and you come back, and it just seems like so many guys, even though they're cleared to play, seem to re-aggravate that type of injury.
You know, I think the hamstring is definitely by far the worst injury. It plays so many tricks with you. I mean, at 1 week, you seem that you're ready. You seem like you can just explode and burst and run as fast as you can. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you dig deep to try and go for it, it automatically it just pops on you again or strains again. I remember my second year, 99, had a hamstring injury. I was in and out of the lineup week to week. You take 2 weeks off, think you're ready, then you're out. So it's very frustrating, and I can only imagine what he's going through, what Marquise is going through, what Allen went through early in the preseason. So we got to wish them speedy recoveries. Hope they get back soon.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, Marquise Lee is out right now with that hamstring injury, and it just seems the Jags can't keep receivers, the whole group, on the field at one time. That's the frustrating part of it.
Very frustrating. You want those guys out there. You want them to, you know, get their reps and grow with the quarterback, give your offense an opportunity to be as successful as possible. And these guys are weapons. These guys are first and second round picks. So hamstrings, you know, very unpredictable. Guys, you know, you try and get your rest, you try and stretch. It's so much you try and do, but they're not ready until they're ready. They have a mind of their own. So, again, you want to just hope that they get back sooner than later.
Fred, baseball season's wrapping up for a lot of teams today. Maybe we need somebody to get in here and teach Blake how to slide feet first. He's got that sideways slide going on right now. I fear for his life because a couple of guys dove right over the top of him when he went into that slide.
Maybe he's learning a new way to you know, take advantage of the penalties that are called, because I think you're going to see a lot of situations where he's sort of half and half. You know, half feet, half head. So hopefully we'll get a few calls if a few guys hit him there while he's attempting to slide. So until he learns, let's hope it works in our favor.
Yeah, prefer he avoids those hits, right?
Altogether. Yeah, we want him to avoid them. But just in case he's going to be hard-headed and not learn to slide, we got to get something out of the deal. I believe in getting something out of the deal. That's me. I'm going to stand by
it. He got something out of it, most of it, for the most part today, and he avoided the big one. What can he learn if he watches the film? I mean, Blake's a big guy. There were a couple of occasions today when Phillip Rivers just seemed to bounce off linemen. He's not the most agile guy, but he's got good balance in the pocket, always looking downfield as well. And there were a couple of times when it seemed like the Jags' rush would be able to bring him down. He was able to escape. Is there anything Blake can learn, or is that just an instinctive thing? And, you know, Blake's doing a pretty good job relying on his own natural athletic ability, but can he learn anything about pocket presence from watching a performance like that?
You know, I think his athleticism, you know, it's hard to, you know, keep athleticism, I guess, contained. You know, so he's a young guy. He's very athletic, a big guy. So he's going to try to extend those plays. He's going to play. He's passionate, you know. So it's really hard to try and contain that. So I think the one thing he is going to learn is, you know, when the play is over. You know, this is sort of a contradicting point that I'm trying to make, but he's going to eventually learn to, well, you know what, I just got to tuck this one. But when he believes that he could fight and extend those plays on certain deep pass call plays, he's going to try and get out, and hopefully the defense sucks up while he's scrambling, and toss a few over their head. So I like his play. Let him play. Just let the man play.
Now, here's one more positive today for Blake Bortles. ESPN NFL tweeting out just a few minutes ago, Blake Bortles today posted the highest completion percentage of any rookie quarterback ever.
Wow.
In their first career start with a minimum of 30 attempts, completed 78.4. We were saying in the pregame, Fred, that the Jaguar rookie record for a rookie starting quarterback was 50% by David Garrard, the best mark. We said, look, he may not do 65 today, but if he pushes it up around 60, you feel
good
pretty
day.
Good about that,
sure.
Right? But 78.4%, pretty amazing.
It's definitely something to look at, going back to the drawing board, and, you know, you have to be optimistic. You know, we want to make sure the fans, they understand that this is a process. You have a very young offense. You have a young quarterback who's willing to put, you know, everything on the line to try and win. So to have a guy like that back there, you know, you can only hope that he'll continue to grow. And maybe one day, just one day, we'll have, you know, the media down here talking about our quarterback like they talk about the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's and Drew Brees's. So, you know, very good start for the rookie.
Fred, we'll be back with you in just a moment when we come back on Jaguars postgame final segment. The Pittsburgh Steelers come to Everbank Field next week in Week 5. We'll preview that matchup. What to watch for this week for the Jags as well. 33-14, Chargers a winner over the Jaguars. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final score, 33-14. For those locally, the scoreboard show is next. 1-800-355-NFL1. 1-800-355-6351. We'll take calls in Jacksonville coming up. Final segment with Fred Taylor on the line. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. The Jaguars welcome the Pittsburgh Steelers to Everbank Field. Your favorite team, Fred, next week.
That's my favorite team. That is my favorite team. I love those fans, so I know what's going to happen next week. We're down. We're 0-4. And what's going to happen? You have a team 2-2, you know, having come off of a tough loss today to Tampa Bay, the most penalized team in the league. You know, they're going to come in, man. They're going to come in ready. They're going to come in ready. They actually love coming down to Jacksonville. So I look forward to this be a pretty good matchup. But I think I'm going to say we're going to take this one. We have to take this one.
Fred, defensively, you've made changes this week with two new starters, with Evans and JT Thomas. There were still, what, as we said, six plays of 20 or more yards. Three of those were touchdowns today against this Jags defense. What else can you change this week in practice?
You know what, going back to the tape today, you know, I think the guys that were inserted played fairly well. You know, Josh played pretty good back deep. You know, you have assignments. And when you have you're playing against an offense who, obviously, they get paid to play. They watch the film. They watch all of the tapes. So going back to the game, looking at the film, there were a few plays by design caught us in the right defenses where we were outnumbered, and it was a big play opportunities that were given up. The thing that I didn't like most was the one-on-one coverage right there. We have to get better. Great throws by Phillip Rivers. Coverage wasn't terrible, but you have to be a lot tighter. So continue to just work the craft, work away at it. The defense did show some signs today, yet gave up the big plays. You have to keep hammering away and get close to your guy and minimize those big plays.
It was a frustrating second half, considering the Jags were right there with San Diego the entire first half, Fred. But I think if you're around the country, you look at this team and say, oh, wow, they give up 30 every week. They get blown out every week. They're terrible. But I, like you, I feel very optimistic. We were just talking on the break about the next four games all being very winnable for this football team. Am I crazy to feel as optimistic as I do considering the results we've seen so far?
No, we've seen improvements. There has been improvements. The great thing about this week coming up is the guy we've mentioned, we've compared – Blake too this week and Big Ben, B squared. He's going to come in there. We're going to create some pressure up front with just a single four-man rush. And Ben, he's going to, you know, get creative. He's going to move around in the pocket. he's going to attempt to throw those balls when the plays are broken down. And hopefully we'll see the defense get some interceptions and create some turnovers with some good field position. So I do like the team's chance this week because Ben, he can be a little erratic back there at times, and he does turn the ball over from time to time. So hopefully the defense can capitalize and create some momentum, some confidence where these guys are playing fast and trusting each other. And in turn, hopefully they could ride that wave for a few games. So I agree with you, Mike. These next four games, they're very much winnable.
To you guys' point, Pittsburgh Steelers here this week at the Tennessee Titans, the Browns here at Everbank Field, the Dolphins here at Everbank Field. Those are the next four games.
Let's go get some.
How about get them all?
Let's start with this one, like Fred said. Get the Pittsburgh game next week, and everybody will feel a little bit better.
Fred, well.
Yeah, that's the best way. That's the best way. Get that taste out your mouth.
Fred Taylor, well done as always. We'll talk to you a little later in the week before the Steelers come calling next week.
Nah, I wish I could suit up, man.
The Steelers don't. I know that.
Fred, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Fred Taylor.
All right, guys. Have a great.
Fred Taylor joining us on Jaguars postgame. Speaking of next week, the Pittsburgh Steelers are here at Everbank Field. I think limited tickets would be the best way to say that. I know it's sold very well. It always does. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday. We'll go on the air at 10 o'clock with a Publix tailgate show, and then a 12 noon on the network. Show is locally in Jacksonville. 12 noon on the network outside of Jacksonville with countdown to kickoff and the 1 o'clock kick here at Everbank Field. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Big Ben Roethlisberger, the guy who a lot of folks compare Blake Bortles to, will face off against Bortles.
He can pass a torch in the pregame if he feels like it. He don't have to wait around.
And everything.
Let's get this thing going right now. But I do think, JP, you look at the quality of teams. We saw Philadelphia drive down to the end, had a chance to go 4-0 today. They lost the first game. But Philly's a playoff team. Washington's the one that kind of bugs you.
Yep.
But Indy and San Diego, we knew those were going to be tough. And hopefully now, through the first month of the season, Blake Bortles has some experience under his legs, gets his home debut next week. I hope Fred Taylor is a prophet, and I do hope the Jags are able to post that first win next week.
Well done. We'll talk to you next week on pregame. For those on the flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010XL, stick around. Scoreboard Show is next. The Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick. Once again, the final score, Chargers 33, Jaguars 14. We'll see you next week on the Jaguars Radio Network.